Welcome back to this second hour in this series of Prepare Without Fear. I'm your host, Jim Phillips. Before the break, we were finishing up on how you could construct these inner thermal liners yourself, this half-inch, this things that are made that are just one half-inch thick of insulation that goes inside of your other things. So something that people want to know is, well, how good is that for? How cold is that for? Because you remember in the previous class about performance ratings, there's a lot of things that affect that. But I'll tell you how what my experience is using these and how I rate them. The half-inch thick is for above zero, and I will call it in a sheltered situation. Now, these things will actually outperform anything you've probably worn at 20 below zero outside in the normal kind of clothing. But I like to be very conservative about what I'm saying. You see, what we have just built, if you have the headwear and then you have these pants and shirt made out of this half-inch foam, got a one-inch hat and a half-inch shirt and pants to go inside of pajamas, coveralls, blue jeans, something like that. And then if you'll put some decent footwear on and have a mitten, we're going to talk about building a mitten in a moment, you can now sit around in an unheated house, a house that has no utilities, that has no heat. You can sit around in that house at temperatures that are above zero in the house. Most houses, as long as you have windows and doors in them, a little bit of activity, that house is going to stay several degrees, 10, 15, 20 degrees warmer than the outside air temperatures. So you can sit around at 10 degrees in a house and just feel great. And then when you get ready to go to bed at night, what do? Well, you might take off your dirty coveralls and put on some pajamas over top of it, or you say, hey, I'm just going to sleep in my insulated underwear and just go to bed in your regular bedding. You've got insulation on. One of the secrets to these things being able to be worn extended periods of time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Why do I say that? Because I've done it. I've experimented with them and with the full Arctic clothing, living in it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, week after week, knowing that the moisture will pass through them. If you make them the way that I've told you, if you get the right materials, then you've got performance that you just can't find anyplace else. So I say these are for the sheltered conditions where the shelter you're inside of is going to be above zero. If it's 40 degrees, you're going to love them. If it's 50 degrees, you probably don't need them, although you'll find they're surprisingly comfortable even at the warm temperatures, especially with low activity. If you get the DVD that we have, it's actually number two in our Self-Reliant Family series. It's called On Clothing, what it is. It's number two in its clothing, and you will see a freezer test using these things. You'll see the moisture handling, all those things. I described it in a previous class. Go back and listen to it in the archives on RBN, or you can watch it in-depth on that DVD, and you'll see a lot of things about the clothing. That DVD doesn't teach you how to make them because it's only 2 hours and 20 minutes long, and I've already spent we're up to 6 hours now on the clothing alone. And the full Winter Without Worries class is 24 hours in length to take you all the way from the basic technology, understanding the tools and techniques, and then right through how to make all of these things. And it's one of my favorite things to do is to go out and teach these classes to audiences all around the country. All right. Oh, somebody has sent in emails asking about these things. I get the question all the time. If I don't know how to sew and I don't want to sew, And I just don't want to do that, I don't have time to, can I buy these things? And the answer is yes. They're going back into production. I did them years ago. We're putting them back into production because the resources that will allow us to do that have been coming in, and we're still gathering more resources to give us the capability. But the production line is going to be set up in the next couple of weeks, and you would be able to buy them if you don't want to make them. That's one way of getting. If you can't afford to buy them, and put your own sweat equity into them, and that's what we're talking about here, how you can do that. Right after the break, I'll tell you how much sweat equity it takes to build them so that you won't be too surprised. They're not hard. They're just tedious. See you right after this break.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special. And your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. This is Jim Phillips, your host. We've been talking about this clothing, and we're talking about how do you face winter without worrying about it. Well, it's all these principles in the previous classes. Go back and listen to them. They're all archived on RBN. We appreciate them doing that so people can get this information now and in the future. Now, just before the break, I said I'm going to tell you what kind of time you might expect in doing these things. And it's like everything else. The first time you do it, it's pretty awful, I guess, is the bottom line. In fact, when we produced that DVD that's showing me sewing them, and as I kind of added up the time that it took to do it, and when I made another one, I made another set of them actually beforehand so I could practice. The first one I made, I spent about 20 hours fussing around with it and getting some little techniques down and learning how to do it. So you might spend several days to make your first one. And there's a lot of people have told me, yeah, the first one is just about enough to discourage you. But you also know that now you know how to do it, how to hold it, how to turn it, how to do these things. Get down to where people are telling me all the time, it takes them about a day to make them. So that's your sweat equity that you're going to have into these things. Material cost for the inner thermal liners. You buy the good quality materials that we teach people about, you'll have somewhere between $50 to $60 in materials into the set. And then you'll have your sweat equity, And again, if you kind of average it out, let's say it takes you, well, 10 hours. Okay, you're slow. And you're always having to move them in and out, and you spend 10 hours on them. Then you can figure out what your time is worth, and you'll know how much it's going to cost you in essence. And it might also help you decide, well, I can afford to buy them. I won't worry about it. But if you cannot afford them, then please let us teach you how to make them. These things will save your life. They will keep you comfortable. All right. Now then, I talked about protecting the hands. Let's go to that. See, we did the hat. We did the big, ugly, one-inch foam hat. You can put a hood over. You can line and cover it with fabric. Let's make a very basic mitten. And this one, I have to use my basic mitten so I can describe it over the air. There's actually three patterns for the mittens, but without a picture of them, you don't have a chance. You get that in the winter without worries. The basic one, I call it the potholder mitten. You've probably all seen one of these padded potholders that's insulated so you can grab something out of the oven. That's the shape we're talking about. It's very simple. How do you come up with a pattern for that? Well, do what I'm doing right now. You put your hand down on a piece of paper, take a pencil, and you could, like, draw kind of around your fingers and thumb, but obviously it's got to be a lot bigger than that. So you come out and around that thing, I'm going to say at least an inch around it, maybe even an inch and a half, but about an inch around it. Just go around and make it that much bigger all around, and there pretty much you have it. That's it. Now, we said you can't sew on a home sewing machine one-inch thick foam, and that's true. You don't have a chance of doing that on a home sewing machine. It takes a unique or a special industrial machine to feed the thick ensemble of foam and fabric. Even if you have fabric on either side of it, just like we described in how to make the inner thermal liners. Matter of fact, I've had people come to me and say, oh, I can make my sewing machine sew one-inch foam. See, I put it together. And then they come back and say, well, yeah, and it tore away in the seam. That's my point. You can't get the stitch length that you need so that you don't put too many serrations in there, needle punches that causes it to tear. All right, so we're going to assemble this one using the gluing method to put it together. We're going to glue the mitten. You need to get one of those adhesives that I talked about earlier, the 3M77 or the D3 Industries or one of those, something that, particularly if you find it, it's used for urethane. Now, this is one you're just going to have to practice and play with. Get your can of a spray adhesive. And by the way, years ago, one of the things that we used in the very first things when we were gluing them together, we were using the auto trim cement. They made one that was amber, and they made one that was black. And I haven't been out there looking for it, but it was in a tube. And the black one didn't work because it got hard and brittle, but the amber one stayed flexible, and it was kind of a contact cement. You might experiment with other things. Feel free to do that. We kind of squeezed that stuff on and then spread the adhesive around, and then you could just butt glue it together, and it made a nice, strong joint. So you can play with things. You can discover your own things. I like to use some of these spray adhesives because it's a lot easier to get a light coating. Here's the thing about using an adhesive. If you get too little adhesive on, it's just too thin. Obviously, the joint won't be strong enough. If you get too much on, surprisingly, it actually becomes weak also. The joints will come apart. In fact, you can just, if you soak the foam, I've had some people just, you know, more is better. When we're doing one of these live classes, and in the live class, I actually have people build them. We make them in there. There are several things we make in the class so you get the technique. And I've had some people come up with this mess, and it's all over them and everything. And I watch how they glue it, and they just get that nozzle right down there, you know, half inch away, and they just soak that thing. It's dripping off of it. And that destroys the foam, and it'll never set up, and it'll never hold. You're going to have to play with it. You'll have to play with it and see if you can learn a little technique by just giving it a fairly light coating. And you'll maybe do two coats, possibly even three, but light ones where you cover it so that you don't get too much and you be sure that you cover any gaps in there. So play with it. That's the only thing I can tell you to do. I had to do it. Other people have had to do it. So you'll lay those things over the edge of a table. You'll probably put some newspaper. I like to do it outside. Don't do it in the house over your carpet. If you do that, your wife's going to, you're going to get hurt. That overspray that settles on the carpet's going to pick up dirt and it'll never come out. This is something you do outside in a safe place or on a porch or in a garage or a place like that. If you have a table or a box you want to protect, then you just drape some newspaper over it, and then you can spray it. And by the way, you're going to get some spray on your hands. And you don't want to soak your hands in it. You get a little bit in, it'll just roll up and come off. You can put some newspaper or even your pattern pieces that you used, that you drew on paper to cut out your foam, you could lay it on top so that you don't get overspray onto the foam. We don't want much overspray on top of the foam. We just want it on the edge. And when I say butt glue, it's about spraying the edges and then put them straight together. Now, this is the thing. You have this thing that's a potholder shape, and then I'm going to roll that up on its edges, and I'm going to stick those things together. And that looks impossible, but this stuff is soft and flexible, and it will, in fact, draw together. Now, what I found is the best way to do it is that we're going to start with the thumb. We're going to begin on the thumb side. We're going to glue the thumb side up. You do about halfway around the mitten, and then you'll go around to the other side and spray it. See, if you spray it too much ahead, the adhesive is going to set up before you get to it. So we'll spray around half of it. I like to do the thumb side first, pull all that together. And when you first do this, you're going to go like, it won't go. I promise you it will. It's just a little technique of how you squeeze and roll and pull it. And these two flat pieces, now as you start to face them together, everything begins to get rounded, and it makes this nice curved shape. All right, you've glued up your one-inch foam. And by the way, you might make one that's way too small or way too big. Hey, just fine. You have something you can lend to somebody else. You just play with it and practice. You'll come up with your own sizing and your own pattern. Keep your pattern so you don't have to recreate it again. Now, one of the things, if you want to make these mittens or these glued things very, very durable, if you glue up a hat or mittens or other things when we talk about gluing them, glue joints can come apart. Glue joints can creep, especially as they get warm. If you were to get them, if you're trying to wash them, and we'll talk about care for these things, but you're going to wash them like in a bathtub with some warm water, that has a tendency to soften the glue. Now, it's not that it's water-soluble. It's just the warm water, and it kind of lubricates things that may start to pull apart. Or if you stored these things and in the summer, things get hot, those joints will have a tendency to pull apart because you had something that was flat that you've now made into a curve, and it's under tension all the time, and they'll come apart. Here's what you do to solve that so they'll never, ever come apart. I have a mitten over here. It's one of them I have just laying around as I talk about these things and showing people. I always bring it to my classes. This mitten is a nice, big, beautiful Arctic mitten that was made by my father about 1979. That's the best I can guess because I've seen it in pictures back in that area, some of the trips that we've taken. And so it was made about 1979. It's perfectly functional. This thing will last another 20 years, 30 years. It'll last a long, long time. One of the things to ensure that foam joint doesn't creep apart inside is that you use a whip stitch that you just kind of nip down through the foam just a little bit into the foam, maybe an eighth of an inch, no more than a quarter of an inch. You just nip down into it. And actually, if you want to do it kind of like a surgeon where you nip down in there and then tie it off, go to the next one, nip in there, tie it off. You don't have to clip the threads in between. Just tie it off on each one of them. Go along at about a quarter inch, distance apart, maybe a little closer than a quarter inch. And you go around those seams, especially where there's a lot of tension, like around the thumb and in the web of the thumb, where the thumb meets up with the fingers in there. There's a lot of stress on that glue joint in there because it really wants to flatten out. It's a tight little curve and around the thumb. So you do the whip stitching around it, that thing will never come apart. It will last for decades. You've made something that's very, very permanent. Well, I've got my foam made. I have my insulation made. But if you remember from previous discussions, if the wind comes up, it'll just blow right through this stuff. So we need to cover it. We're going to do just like the hat. We'll get a material. I have one of these mittens here that I make this one in the class to show people. Here's my potholder mitten. On the outside, it has this is a nylon fabric. It's not coated. It's not waterproof. I can breathe a little bit of air through it, not much. And I'm just going to make a slip cover that goes over top of it. I will also make a liner that goes inside. The liner is not absolutely required, but it actually does help. It's an improvement if you'll put it inside. And we'll slide the outer covering over, and the inner covering will poke inside. And you say, well, how do I come up with a pattern for that? Well, the outer one needs to be larger than the foam pattern was. Just lay it down and give it an extra, I don't know, 3/4 of an inch. You can always sew it a little bit closer once you've sewed it if it's too big. Getting it too small is a problem. Too big is no problem because you can always come back and, sew it down a little bit closer, and then you'll develop your own little pattern. I can slip that over the outside And then I'll talk about something you want to do on the inside so that lining doesn't pull out. Right after this break, I'll give you another one of our little secrets to make this stuff work.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. I am Jim Phillips talking to you. This beautiful, we're having Indian summer here today as we're getting into the fall and winter, but it's a fine day. Teaching you about how to face winter without worries. In fact, that's the class that I teach all the time, winter without worries, helping you face the cold weather, snow, all those kinds of things without getting hurt. If you have any questions, you can send your questions email to askjim@preparemyfamily.com. That's askjim@preparemyfamily.com. If you don't have access to the internet, then you can leave your information, your questions at 888-YOU-GET-SET. That's a toll-free voicemail at 888-YOU-GET-SET. You can also get the DVDs that I've been talking about by going to preparemyfamily.com. The first 2 hours in our series, the $5.50 DVD, order that one or leave a message on the voicemail. We'll get back with you. And just want to answer any question that we possibly can, helping you face your future without fear. All right. One last little thing I was going to tell you about, one of these secrets, I guess I should say, and that is how to keep that liner from pulling back. See, when we first started making these things, we knew we had to get a fabric on the outside, so we did that. And then we had them line. Then we said, well, when you did that and you're moving your fingers around inside, you kind of wear through the foam. Fingernails will tear it up over a period of time. I mean, insulations are mostly air, so they're not real strong. What you want is a fabric on the inside that's kind of slippery and doesn't allow you to rub up against the foam and abrade it. So we started putting a liner inside, but then, you know, the old problem is you pull your hand back out of there. Sometimes the liner comes back out, and it's a real pain to poke it back inside. Very simple thing that you do with your glued joints. Now, if you were sewing this up, you had the right machine, then you capture the lining fabric in the seam, just like we did with the inner thermal liners. But the problem is you have to have the industrial machine to do that. So in this case, what you do is you make that liner, this tricot knit liner that goes inside. You can make that after you've sewed it up, a little smaller than the foam pattern, obviously, because it's going inside. You put a ribbon at the end of the fingers, right down at the end of the palm of the hand, at the end of the thumb especially, because that's the one when it pulls out, it's a real pain to poke back in there. So you make this little ribbon that sticks out on the end of that fabric before you put it in, and then take a pair of hemostats. You know, hemostats is one of those little electronics, people use them all the time. They'll know what it is. Of course, doctors and nurses know what they are, but it's a little clamp that's used to clamp blood vessels down so they won't bleed. Hemo is, you know, is blood, and then, you know, it clamps it. And so you can poke those things through. They're kind of sharp on the end, and you can poke it right through the foam on the end, right where the seam is, reach up inside, take that little ribbon and grab a hold of it with the hemostats and then pull it through the hole. And then you'll fold that ribbon over the edge and just whip-stitch it into the edge so it can't pull through. Do that at the thumb of the tip of the palm, and that way you can't pull that liner back out of your mitten. Now then you have the outer shell fabric, you have the inner liner in there, they're sticking out over the end of the foam. You can just take that to your home sewing machine, fold it over, and stitch around it. And it's closed up. It's done. It's ready to go. And once you learn how to make, you make these quick. And I always tell people in the classes when they've learned how to make the three-piece mitten, and it's got a much more complicated shape, and can't describe that one to you over the air. But I always tell people, the parents, you know, make this one for you, the one that's the advanced mitten, as I call it. But the potholder one I've just described to you, make that one for the kids. Why? Well, kids are going to lose it. Even when you try and tie it to them, they'll lose them, because you can build them so fast that it won't take you long to make another one. Or, more importantly than that, you can take your 10-year-old kid, your 12-year-old kid, and you teach him how to make them. Now, he has the skill to keep his hands warm. He's also learning the skills about his head and everything else. These things, when my kids wanted to go snow camping with me years ago when they were little guys, when they wanted to go with me, it's like, if you're going with Dad, you've got to have this stuff. And I would make them make some parts of it. They would be involved in producing it. Even the footwear that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about making your own footwear that will keep your feet warm at 40 below zero. Just the warmest things you can ever produce. And I had my kids make some of their own footwear. They did major parts in that. And now they're off teaching, well, their Boy Scout troops and their own kids how to make these things. You can do that with your children. So there we are. I'm sitting here looking at this thing. It's a very basic, simple mitten. And here again, what do I have in the way of cost in this thing? Well, the materials, I don't know, kind of like the hat. To make a pair of them, $3 worth of materials in it. What's your sweat equity into it? You might have the first time around, especially, you may have a couple of hours figuring it out. And then from then on, it won't be too bad. Now, it's basic. It's simple. It's somewhat ugly, but the performance is extraordinary. Oh, one last little thing I've got to tell you. You know, around the opening to the mitten, one of the things to consider is how big do you make that opening? If I'm putting this over top of my thick insulated foam clothing, if I have a shirt sleeve that has a half inch of foam in it, or more likely my Arctic shirt that has 1 inch in it, I've got to make that opening, we call it the gauntlet, big. So up above your wrist, this thing really flares out so it's big enough to go over top of my big, fat shirt. Now, some people say, well, isn't that going to let cold air in? No, because I jam my shirt down inside of that thing, goes over top of it, it seals it up. And if it's so warm that I don't need to wear my shirt, and I'm just using the mint, and it's not cold enough that you have to worry about a little bit of air leaking in there anyway. So there's the discussion on mitten design and how to make them.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. This is Jim Phillips in our continuing series about how you can meet the future without fear. Again, if you have any questions, you can email me at askjim@preparemyfamily.com. Those things will all be passed on to me. And you can leave any questions that you may have at 888-YOU-GET-SET. That's a toll-free voicemail at 888-YOU-GET-SET. Of course, you can find additional information on our website, which is preparemyfamily.com, and to read about some of the things here on the clothing, as well as other articles, you'll find them in the preparedness library. They're all downloadable, and you can print them out. Please give them away. I've given you references where you can find other materials in the Popular Science and in the Boy Scout Field Book, the third edition 1984 Field Book that has some things that will be useful for you there. You'll also find this 1989 Popular Science in November 1989. If you'll do a Google search, put in Jim Phillips and foam clothing. Put both of those in there because it'll narrow the search. Put Jim Phillips and foam clothing. Said that one wrong. Been talking too long today. Jim Phillips and foam clothing. That'll bring you to some of these articles and others that you can look up, including a Mother Earth News about how to make your own cold weather clothing. Well, the next thing that we're always looking at is how do we take care of the feet? In fact, if you'll remember in the previous classes, here again, go back and listen to the previous ones. This is a series, and there's a lot of information that we're getting archived here at RBN. This all started with cold, frozen feet back in the late 50s and early 60s when we were doing snow camping. The biggest thing we suffered with was our feet. And while sleeping wasn't all that great and the rest of it wasn't terrific, but the feet was the worst of all. And it was in 1962 that my dad hit upon the idea of how we might make what we call a muckluck. Muckluck is an Eskimo word, really meaning a soft-sided skin boot. And so we started making mucklucks using the foam as the insulation and other materials to hold it together. The first ones were really crude. You see pictures of that on the DVD about what we were doing to stuff it inside of some existing things. They kept our feet warm, but they were hideous to walk in. They were very mechanically uncomfortable. They were too small. They were kind of tight. The other thing is there wasn't any tread on them. We moved on to another one. I'm just looking here at kind of my private museum of these things. That was 1962, 63. We used the leather-bottomed canvas-top military muckluck they had that was kind of an emergency slip-over boot. They were okay. That's when we started to figure out that canvas, you know, cotton wasn't all that great because they iced up terribly. We found another one. You can still find a few of these out here, but there's none of them in the large size. They're all the mediums and the smalls. It has a vulcanized rubber sole on it and a canvas upper. And if you had a foot size that was probably a 7 or 8, this is in a man size, you might be able to use the ones I find out there. Our students through the years have bought up all the extra larges and larges that were okay. They still weren't quite big enough, but they did a pretty good job. We went to that. And then in 1967, I said, you know what, this just isn't working for me because my feet were larger than my dad's. And so I said, I've got to make a footwear from the ground up. And I had to figure out how to do that. And please understand, I had never made anything like this before in my life. I just had a few skills and some ideas. So this is to give you some hope. If you want to do this, you can figure out how to do it. And I'll be giving you descriptions on these things. We won't get it all done today. We'll finish it up next week. But it's just if you want to and need to, if you're in an emergency or you're preparing for an emergency, and if money is tight, then you can build them. I did my first pair of these mucklucks because I use used things. I spent less than $10 on them. I don't know what it is anymore because that's 1967. That's a long time ago. Here's what I did. You need a bottom. You need a sole. So in this case, I said, well, what's the biggest thing you can find? It's an overshoe, a galoshes. Now, I'm not talking about like an irrigation boot or a rubber boot that you'd put your stocking foot in. I'm talking about one that's designed to go over top of a boot. They are wide. They are long because they have to fit over top of it. So I went to a secondhand store. I think it was an Army surplus store, and he had some used overshoes there. They didn't even match. They have different treads on the bottom. And one of the buckles, it was a five-buckle one, you know, that went up high. One of the buckles was ripped off, and it was a size 14. I bought them. Now, that guy, he sold me that pair with the damage and the fact they didn't match. It was a right and a left, but they had different treads on them. He sold them to me for 50 cents. I think he figured he ripped me off, and I figured I got a good deal. We were both happy. It worked out just fine. So I got those overshoes. Now, the rubber overshoe top is no good. So you cut them off. Now, you have to be careful about this description because we're not just cutting them off so it's flat. I need a sidewall. If you're familiar with a boat, you know, I need a gunwale on the side, something that comes up off the bottom of this thing. I've got the tread on the bottom. And so I'm going to come up around the toe where it starts to curve over the top to what we call the toe box, and I'm just going to cut it right there just before it starts to curl over the top, and then bring it up around the back, up around the over the heel area, up above the Achilles tendon area in there, and so it's just going to kind of wrap around and taper up to the top. It's higher in the back than it is in the front. And you throw away the rest of it. You throw away the top. I just want that bottom with that sidewall on it. and then that becomes my soul. Well, that's what I did in 1967. I cut off the top, and I threw it away, and I had this bottom. And then it's like, well, I knew I had to get some fabric on it. So I went down to the store, and I found some polyester sail cloth. Polyesters hold up very well in the weather. It's tightly woven, so it could be a sailcloth. Now, it wasn't waterproofed. It wasn't sealed or anything. I could blow a little bit of air through it, but it was a synthetic, so it wouldn't ice up, because that was a problem we're having with these canvas ones, the military ones. They're all made from cotton canvas, and some days it would get kind of warm, and it'd get wet, and then it'd get really cold, and it'd freeze up, and it'd ice up, and then you couldn't get the moisture through as well, and they were just kind of a mess to work with. So I wanted a synthetic polyester or nylon cloth that's tightly woven, that is not coated on the backside, that is not waterproof, is not waterproof breathable, tightly woven so the wind doesn't blow through, but yet breathable enough to get some moisture go through. That's what you want. So you get a fabric like that. Now, you have to think about this. You're picturing this boot. You're picturing like the overshoe, or you've had some snowpack boots, you know, the ones with the felt liners in them, and you can use those soles. They'd have a tendency to not be quite as wide as you'd like, but the snow packs would work. But you look at that boot, and you see all this boot shape, and you say, my goodness, it's tapered, and it's curves around here and there and all those things. So I'm going to hold this thing up like I do it in my classes all the time, and I tell people, I say, you want to see the shape of what the top looks like? And there we are holding the sole. I just pull it straight down like I did there, and it's straight up and down. It's exactly the same diameter or circumference, if you will. It's the circumference of the top of the sole all the way around. I just make a tube that goes straight up. And you go, my goodness, how do I get a foot shape on it? You just put a strap on it. I just hold my hand and poke it in here. I just put a strap or a lace in there that pulls it in over the arch of the foot up around me, and it gives it the foot shape. What I'm telling you is this is not all that complicated. Get basic things. Now the fabric's going to be kind of wrinkled, and it isn't going to look quite as pretty. I know that, but it works. Remember my lecture on style? Style is being worn at 40 below zero, no matter what it looks like. That's what we went to the Arctic in 1967. I made those things. At first I used all laces. Later on, I found I'd rather use a strap, and a buckle does a better job. It'll tie that back, and it ties from the back around the just below your ankle bone, right where that knob is that sticks out on the side of your ankle, right there, and straight down from there down to the sole. That's where you hook in the buckle or the strap, and it just goes at an angle about, a, I don't know, 45 to 50-degree angle, something like that, up around over the arch of the foot and back down to the other side, and has a strap or a buckle in there so I can pull things down and back, and that'll secure it around your foot and give you the foot shape. And then you can use some laces up. Again, I use laces all the way up, but I discovered I like the buckles better later on, and then I'll just lace up the top to kind of pull it down around you. And as far as that goes, you're done, really, with the shell. All right, the question is, well, how am I going to attach the fabric to that rubber sole? People say, well, can I glue it? And the answer is, not really. I wouldn't trust the gluing. It needs to be sewed. Well, that's where, and I like people to have the basic technology, and certainly you could go to a shoe shop where he has a machine that has what's called a cylinder bed, so it'll reach up inside, and he'd be able to sew that. You're not going to do it on your home sewing machine because it's usually not heavy-duty enough to do that, and you've got to reach up inside. You need a cylinder bed on it, or an open arm, sometimes it's called. But you can always try it. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But you got to use a good heavy-duty thread. Here's what I do, and this is what we teach our students to do. You get a hand sewing awl. The hand sewing awl is a very vital thing to have. As a matter of fact, in your emergency preparedness supplies, you should have these things by the case, because these things will be worth their weight in diamonds one day. Think about it. If your shoe was falling apart and you need to resole the thing, how are you going to do that? Well, the sewing awl is one of the ways to do it. It's how you repair webbing. It's how you repair awnings and tent flaps, and it's how you fix your mukluks and how you make them. This is how we're going to attach the cloth to it. The one I have found to be the best one out there, it's the Speedy Stitcher, is the best one. And if you know what it is and you can go find it, that's great. The website where you'd be able to find it is it's on thestuffoutlet.com. You'll find it there, the Speedy Stitcher. I like it the best one of all. They have some of them that have a little bobbin down below, just above the needle. They don't work very well. I've been unhappy with those. This one has the thread, the bobbins up in the handle. You'll see a picture of it on the website, the stuff outlet. Here in the future, I think it'll be on foam clothing also, but right now it's on the stuff outlet. That's where you could go to get one. You need to buy these by the box, because one day you could trade this, you know, if things really go south on us, some guy would be willing to trade his motorhome for a sewing awl so he can keep his stuff repaired. He can fix his buckles and straps and packs and tents and things like that. Vital. No electricity. Hand-operated. Get extra thread. Get extra needles. Learn how to use it. That's how we're going to attach the top, the fabric, to the sole on the muckluck. You can do it yourself. You sit around in the evening listening to some music or watching the news or whatever you happen to do, or watch a movie, and just sit there and sew these things up. It takes you a half hour, 45 minutes to go all the way around one by hand, making these little stitches in there, but it's very reliable. You can get the job done. So now that, and that's how you do all your buckles and all your laces. You can sew them all on there with that hand sewing awl, so you don't have to have a $2,000 sewing machine to do it. You're going to do it with a thing that costs about, let's say $10. Maybe there's some shipping in it. Maybe it's $15. So if it costs you $15, that thing will last you forever. I have the first one I bought, which I bought back in the early 1970s, and it does a great job. Okay, by the way, to sew my first one on here, I didn't even know about a sewing awl, so I just took it to the shoe shop and had them sew it on. I encourage you to, you can do that if you're going to make a bunch of them, but at least one or two of them, do it by hand so you have that skill. You have the knowledge. You go back to my principles. What's your attitude about your shoes falling apart if you have the knowledge and the skill about how to reattach it with a sewing awl? Your attitude is, well, fine, I'll just fix it. Rather than, oh, my heck, what am I going to do? Who can fix my shoes for me? I have to go trade something. You just fix it yourself, and then you can help somebody else that doesn't have the skill. That's how we prepare ourselves and how we're able to reach out and help other people. All right, so now I've built my the basic shell, which is I've got this rubber sole, and I have this fabric top. Obviously, you're going to put like a pocket in it where you can have a draw cord around the top so you can pull it down so it doesn't leak snow. And you're essentially done with the outer shell. But now we've got to start getting some things inside. We put some guts in these things, and it's obviously the insulation that goes inside. Now, first off, you're not going to wear your shoes inside of this and try and put foam around it. People try to do that all the time. Say, well, how am I going to get my shoe in there and get the foam around? This is your foot that goes in here. This is your shoe. This is what you wear. The only thing that you might have on would be a synthetic sock. I'll just wear inside of my foam and all those things, I'll just wear a synthetic street sock that's in there so I can change and wash that sock often, and I don't have to worry about that big, thick insulation quite as much. Well, the first thing you've got to do is get some insulation on the bottom inside of this. We're going to put an insole in there. And here you can use closed cell foam. Closed cell means the bubbles are still closed on it, and they won't leak the air out. That means that they will not collapse as easily. See, the open cell foam, one of the reasons it collapses is because the material is soft, but also you don't have a bubble there like a balloon that you're squeezing to help hold it up, so it'll just mash right down. And if I'm going to have foam inside of this, which I will, the foam we've been talking about, the urethane foam, but when I stand on it, it's going to mash paper thin. So I've got to get some insulation underneath my foot. You put in an insole of a closed cell foam. Now, the easiest and lowest cost ones that you can get that everybody can find is the military sleeping mat. Go to the military surplus people and get some of those mats. Now, the mats are only 3/8 of an inch thick, so you're going to use two thicknesses of them. What's the pattern? I don't know. It depends on the size and the shape of your footwear. You just kind of make a paper pattern that'll fit down inside, cut those things out, put two layers inside, you're done. You don't have to glue them in or anything. Just lay them in there. I don't want to glue them in because over a period of time, those things are going to mash down. That is not the absolute best foam to use, but it's the easiest one for you to find, and it is quite acceptable. Some people have said, well, I can get some inch-thick foam sleeping mats that are really soft and spongy, and you'd think you'd want that on the bottom so you have this real cushiony stuff. You put an inch of this cushion underneath you, and you feel like you're walking on Jell-O in an earthquake. It feels very unstable. It allows your foot to rock around. You may turn over and twist an ankle. I actually want a foam that's quite firm that gives me a walking bed that's fairly stable. So the real soft spongy foams, you'll find you don't like them as well. The sleeping mat will do a good job, and you'll pay somewhere between $6 to $10 for a mat that'll make 10 pair of these things. So they're fairly inexpensive, and since it doesn't hold up quite as well as the other, you might have to change them out once a year. Well, okay, it costs you 60 cents a year to change them out. Very economical thing to do. So I've got now 3/4 of an inch of foam in the bottom of this thing. Now then we want to line it with additional insulation. We're going to line it with the foam. And since we're getting a little short on our time right now, I'm not going to be able to finish that one this week, but I'll come back next week, and we will finish how you line these things, how you put together the foam liner, the foam sock that goes inside of them, and we'll complete that next week. But let's just review for a couple of moments a few things here on the footwear so that you build a picture of it. And by the way, if you'll go to the Boy Scout Field Book, in there you will actually find a footwear, and I'm not telling you that's my favorite way to do it anymore. Remember, this is 1984. We've learned a lot since then. And if you go in here, you'll see, starting on page, flipping to it here, page 80, making a muckluck. It was a pattern that my dad used years ago. Does work, but it's fairly complicated to make, but it is a place to start. A little bit different what I've been describing. We'll finish right after this break for today's program.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. This is Jim Phillips for the last few moments of this program today as we wrap up. We've been talking about the principles of how and why things work in preparedness in general, but also about this Powell's clothing that's a part of the Phillips Arctic Living System. We've been talking about the materials that are contained in the class Winter Without Worries, because that's what it's all about. I believe that you do not have to be afraid of the winter, no matter how cold it is. Matter of fact, the colder it is, the better it is. The cold is a safer place to be if you're prepared to deal with the cold. Do you understand the advantage if something really ugly happens if it was in the winter? One of the advantages is it reduces and slows the spread of sickness and disease as long as you're out in the cold. Now, if you go down to the sports arena where there's 20,000 unhappy people coughing all over each other and breathing on each other, that's a place to breed sickness and disease. But you don't get sick living in an igloo. You don't catch the flu living outside. You catch the flu from other people who are in warm environments. So, you see, when I talk about the winter and being prepared for it, there's tremendous advantage of being able to deal with the cold out in the cold. It slows down all kinds of things if there's sickness and disease out there. But if you're, like, going to freeze, you're not going to enjoy the cold. So let's get prepared for the winter and enjoy it. Next week, we'll be finishing off this series on the footwear, and we'll continue more into the clothing. We've got some sleeping bags to do and a few other things. Although the principles, if you've been listening in terms of the materials and how and why we do what we do, then you really can start doing, you can start stepping ahead of where I'm at here. Remember, back in the early 1960s, we had no clue about how to do this. It was figured out by my father and by me, and we just started trying things. This thing evolved from 1960 through 1962 through 1972, over a 10-year period. The whole doctrine and methodology evolved in that period of time. And fundamentally, it has not changed since 1972. Now, there's been a lot of refinements, a lot of developments, a lot of better ways of, you know, implementing some of these things, but the basic principles and methods have not changed since 1972. They worked great back then. They work better than anything else that I know of right now. This is about becoming preparedness. Not about doing preparedness, but it's really about becoming preparedness yourself and internalizing these things. Remember, the principle is it's your spiritual base, it's your attitude, it's your knowledge, and then it's stuff. And you change your attitude, you become preparedness by doing the things, gaining the experience with them so that you can face the winter, you can face all kinds of things without being afraid of them. That means you have to try things. You try things, you test yourself. I suggest you have fun with it. I talk about playing with these things. This is not about being into gloom and doom. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when things happen. Hey, if you live long enough, something happens. I have been caught in life-threatening situations, some of them man-made, some of them just things happen out there in the weather and in the conditions and in the environment. And so it's about playing with them and having fun with them now and not being into gloom and doom so you're ready to deal with it. You experiment and experience. You make it a part of your lifestyle. This isn't something that you just have and set aside. This is something that's a part of you. Remember, the truth about life is this. There's no doubt that tomorrow will come, and there's no dispute that things happen. But how you're prepared to meet tomorrow will make all the difference in the world. If you're prepared for the worst, then no matter what happens, it will be an adventure. That's how this works. You can live a provident life by making such provisions in all areas of your life that you can face the future without fear. That's what this is about, because you become a self-reliant family, interdependent with self-reliant communities. We will see you next week. Prepare Without Fear. This is Jim Phillips. Have a wonderful day. With